Amen. Thank you, JC and Katie and Brother Jeff and Charity and James for that beautiful, beautiful presentation to honor these graduates by the grace and glory of God. I'm so proud of all of you for everything that God's doing in you and through you and for you, and pray that once again God will keep his hand on you and raise you up to be a mighty army of God for his glory. And out of all the conversions, Kara, yours was the most beautiful conversion. Yeah. That's an inside joke between me and Jeff. Converted from Alabama to LSU. Jeff is teaching me, though. He's teaching me. We grew up in Louisiana thinking that there was something spiritual about a degree from LSU, and Jeff's teaching me that's purely physical and good and exciting, but it's not really biblical or spiritual about it. And I am learning that, Brother Jeff. But thank God we can keep on teaching Brother Jeff that home Louisiana hospitality, regardless of our undoctrinal beliefs. Well, now let's get serious, amen. I want to encourage you to turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 10. We talked about many, many I am statements from the Lord Jesus Christ as we look at John chapter 10. And this morning we want to look at this one. Jesus is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Folks, I want to tell you, if ever we needed a good shepherd in the day and age we live in, it's now. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says in verse 11. We're focusing on that this morning, the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. Speaking of the Gentiles, he says, they will hear my voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me. I love this verse in verse 18. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Folks, Jesus wasn't some helpless victim through a murder plot. He allowed them to take his life, and he, by his own initiative, raised it up again. He was in control every step of the way, folks. He wasn't a helpless victim, but he was a victorious Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, as we look into your word, we pray that you'll let us leave here encouraged, built up and edified by the fact that we serve a good, good shepherd. He knows how to take care of his sheep. And Lord, we pray for those that are here this morning without a shepherd, that they would be saved by the grace of God before it's too late. Lord, I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit to honor Christ, to exalt your word. Lord, let us leave here saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord, because you have spoken to our heart through your word, and you filled me and anointed me with your spirit to exalt Jesus and to honor your word. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable and pleasing unto you this morning, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, our great God and Savior, we pray. Amen. We started out by saying Jesus said in the word of God, I am the bread of life. Then we went on in the next sermon and Jesus said, I am the light of life. And then Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. So far we've learned some very important things in life as we look at Jesus as the good shepherd. First of all, Jesus can sustain us as the bread of life. When you come to Christ and get saved by the grace of God, you don't have to go looking anywhere else for spiritual nourishment and refreshment. You found it. Christ has given you eternal life. The spiritual emptiness in your heart has been filled by Jesus Christ and His blood and His resurrection. You won't ever have to go looking anywhere else and be hungry and thirsty for anything except Jesus. The world can sneer at that. The world can mock that. The world can try to push this thought away that only Christ can sustain us and save us. But folks, I'm telling you, the world can take a hike because the Word of God is true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Christ. As the bread of life, He can sustain us. He can bring us out of darkness as the light of life. Man is in darkness, separated from God, wicked and ungodly, dying in his sins and rebellion against God. But Jesus, the light of life, can bring you out of darkness and forgive you and save you and give you eternal life. Folks, I'm telling you, you don't have to live in darkness. If you come to Christ, He'll bring you out of it. Amen. He can set you free. Paid the penalty for your sin, save you by His grace, and bring you out of darkness into this marvelous light, the light and glorious gospel that He offers us. He's not only the light of the world, it says He's the door. Folks, not only is He the door, the sheepfold of the door of the sheepfold, Christ is the only door. There is no other door. You won't ever enter into glory or see a thrice holy God when you die, unless you come through Jesus. He's the only way. There is no other way. Folks, I want to tell you, Confucius is dead. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. All of these gurus that people thought were spiritual and saviors and some great figures, they're all dead. And their bodies were placed in a tomb. Their bodies began to rot and turn to dust when they died. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was placed in a tomb on the third glorious day. That stone was rolled away, and there's an empty grave there to prove that our Savior lives, because He's the only Savior that ever rose from the dead and died on a cross. The first thing I want to point out to you right here in verse 10 is the attractiveness of the character of Christ. In verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In the Greek, I'm not a Greek expert, but it helps sometimes because it's very descriptive. It gives us a way, sometimes more in-depth picture or even a beautiful picture of what the intentions of the writer was trying to say. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Those two words together, the good shepherd, is so descriptive and beautiful in the original language. It means the lovely shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the noble and genuine shepherd. Amen. Folks, there's a lot of false shepherds out there. There's a lot of ugly shepherds out there. There's a lot of hateful and counterfeit shepherds out there. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is beautiful. He's the genuine, original, unique, only one. As the shepherd. He's the lovely shepherd. He's the beautiful shepherd. Aren't you glad He's your shepherd? There ain't nothing more beautiful than thinking of myself as a dumb sheep that's prone to wander, don't have no spiritual sense of my own, but the lovely shepherd, the great shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the genuine shepherd knows how to take care of me when I'm prone to wander and I can't make sense of my own life. I've got a shepherd that knows how to take care of me. The good shepherd loves his sheep faithfully. Right here in verse 11, it says the good shepherd, in verse 11, he lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus used three different descriptions that exposes what a fake shepherd looks like. Verse 8, he calls them thieves and robbers. Verse 12, he calls them a hired hand and a wolf. Now you think about that, a thief and a robber. Anybody ever got mugged? Anybody ever got ripped off? Anybody ever stabbed you in your back, stole from you, lied to you? A thief and a robber. Folks, they got a lot of thieves running around in the day and age we live in, preaching for money, ripping the flock off, getting rich off of the gospel, and sucking from the sheep. Well, I want to tell you, the good shepherd's not a thief or a robber. I'll tell you what he does for the sheep. He don't rip you off and he don't want all your money. What he wants is your heart. your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul so he can take you as a sheep and protect you and lead you and guide you and direct you. He pours into your life as you lay your life down for him and follow the shepherd. Folks, I want to tell you, they got a lot of counterfeits out there, raking God's people over the coals, telling stories and jokes until Jesus comes back, ripping God's people off, making money off of the gospel. I want to tell you, this shepherd's such a good, lovely, genuine shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. See, most of these fake prophets got it backwards. They want all the sheep to lay their life down for them, and they just step on them to climb the ladder, to experience popularity, get rich off the gospel. Jesus says these false shepherds are thieves, they're robbers. He says they're like wolves. What do wolves do? Wolves scatter. Wolves slay the sheep. Wolves destroy the sheep. Folks, I want to tell you, Jesus didn't come to take your life and destroy it. He come to give you life, he says right here, and give you life more abundantly. What a great shepherd, folks. I want to tell you, my life was in shambles. My life was a wreck. Satan had me in the palm of his hand. He was using me as a tool in his hand. But I'm telling you, he was stealing and killing and destroying, and he was robbing me of all the glory of God. But on that glorious day, at 27 years old, when I called upon the name of Jesus Christ and got saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you, I went from a child of the devil to a child of the great shepherd, the genuine shepherd. And glory be to God. He's a good God according to this book. We don't have sense enough to take care of ourselves. Jesus takes us in and saves us by the grace of God. And as a good shepherd, folks, I'm telling you, he knows how to take care of his sheep. Aren't you glad he's been taking care of you and leading you and guiding you and directing you as a genuine, lovely shepherd that knows how to take care of his sheep? The good shepherd loves his sheep faithfully. He lays down his life for the sheep. He exposes fake shepherds as thieves and robbers and hired hands and wolves. You know what a hired hand is, huh? That's somebody who gets paid to tend to the sheep. But because he's paid, Brother Jeff, and they don't actually belong to him, he's not the owner. When the wolf comes, he takes off and running. Run, Forrest, run, Forrest. And he heads to the hill. Thank God when we get in trouble as children of God. Thank God when we go through these valleys, when we go through stress, when we go through unbearable temptations and trials in life, and we as low as we can get. The genuine, lovely, good shepherd is right there by our side. Why? Because we belong to him. He owns us. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit is in you, who have for God, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And then Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. You know why Jesus said that? Because you're one of his sheep. He paid the precious price for your soul. He shed his blood to give you eternal life. And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. What a good shepherd. He don't run when the sheep in trouble. He sticks right there by our side, molding us and shaping us and conforming us to his image, being very gracious and merciful to us because we are his sheep and he is our shepherd who loves his sheep faithfully. Beautiful picture of this is when Peter, John chapter 21 verse 15 through 18, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him three times. Peter answered and said, you know I love you. Peter begins to get pretty frustrated and Jesus turns to Peter after the third time and he says, tend my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, Peter, when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Jesus was signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. You think of Peter in the infant stages, denying, running, Little slave girl comes up to him. Oh boy, you one of them, your speech betray you. I don't know the man. You think of Peter after he's been walking with Christ and Christ begins to tell him these things. See folks, there's something about growing old in your walk with Jesus that God becomes more and more faithful the older you get. Can I get an amen? You see, you can look down the line and see that God has an unblemished track record. He's never lost the fight and he never will. As a matter of fact, it's a fixed fight. Satan has already been defeated, folks. Christ is our victory. Christ is the one who said, then this, I will found my church upon this rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And there's something about growing old with Jesus. God don't ever get old, folks. He's the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. But as we grow and we get older and we mature in our walk with God, we see that there was the unseen hand there all along, leading us and guiding us and directing us and protecting us. And God has been faithful every step of the way as a child of God. The good shepherd loves his sheep faithfully. I think about that song, Amazing Grace. I think about that stanza where it says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Y'all look like y'all want to sing that this morning. I'm glad, boy. I finally get to get up here and sing, Bud Jeff. He asked me a while ago, I didn't know that song. I didn't want to get up there and make a fool out of myself. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Folks, that's a good shepherd. He saved us by his grace. He sustains us by his grace, and by his grace, the good shepherd is going to lead us home by the grace and glory of God. The good shepherd loves his sheep faithfully. The good shepherd loves his sheep intimately. You think about this for a second, he says in verse 3. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. To think that Jesus, here's the thought that crossed my mind as I was studying. You might say, oh, well, that could be dangerous, but Marty was thinking. To think that Christ knows us by name, and I got to thinking about that. Out of all the millions and millions and millions of sheep that Jesus has saved by the grace of God that have called upon his name, little old insignificant saved by the grace sinner, Marty Guidry, Jesus knows me by my name. Hello, can I get an amen? If you've been saved by the grace of God, folks, that's as intimate as it's going to get. Jesus knows you by name. Out of all the millions and billions of people that have been saved by the grace of God, I don't know about you, man. I had 5 kids. Erica gets mad when I say that. Erica had 5 kids. I had a party in on it. Marley, Morgan, Josh, Eric, and Micah. You ever get kind of flustered and frustrated and you go to calling your kids out and you can't remember their name? I mean, I might be looking at Marley and I'd say, Josh, Eric, Micah, Mark, you know who you are. Come here. And I tell you, you get a little flustered or you get flabbergasted and you'll forget your own kids' name. You know who you are. Come here. I want to tell you something, folks. The kind of father and the great lovely shepherd that we have, he calls us out by name and he knows us individually, every single one of us. What an amazing intimacy God gives us when we enter into a personal saving relationship with Jesus. Your mom and dad can forget your name. You always hope and pray the cops will forget your name, Brother Terry. Your next door neighbor may forget your name, but God the Father, when he saves you by the grace of God, never ever forgets your name and you belong to him. Because of this intimate, saving relationship with Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, as we think about this intimacy with Christ, says, it's so intimate, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You ever thought about that? All my worries, all my anxieties, everything that I think about in this life that comes against me, that I sit around and fret about or twiddle my thumbs about, I can take all of that because of this intimate, saving relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I can cast all of that, Brother Dennis, on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I can rest assured that because of His intimate love for me and my personal relationship with Him, He will take care of me as a child of God. Casting all your cares on Him. Then Peter says in verse 10 of chapter 5, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, listen to this, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Perfect you, strengthen you, confirm you, and to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It reminds me when Jesus says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. This loving shepherd that loves you and you have this intimate relationship with Him, and I do, we can cast all of our cares upon Him. We can be assured of His promises that He will establish us. He will mature us. He will perfect us as a child of the living God. I don't know about you, but that gives me great comfort in this old wicked, dark world that we live in. Hey, I don't have no shepherd up there at the White House. But I got one in glory that rose from the dead and is on His throne. If you're waiting for some lawmaker or some politician to come along and comfort you and strengthen you, you're going to be waiting till Jesus comes back. But I want to tell you, folks, we got an intimate relationship with a God that promised us He'll be a good shepherd. He's genuine, folks. There ain't nobody like Him because He's the only one. Nobody will take care of us like Jesus. But Jesus will take care of His sheep. Then we see the inclusiveness of His concern. Verse 9 of chapter 10, He says, if anyone enters through Me, he will be saved. The first thing we see is the shepherd seeks the sheep. I think of that story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus is very short in stature. He wasn't as short as Nehemiah, but he was a short man. That went over like a lead balloon. Let me move on. Jesus and Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 9 and 10, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. And then he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Aren't you glad Jesus come looking for you and sought you out? Hey, aren't you glad when you was lost and undone and wasn't looking for God, wasn't worried about God? God in His infinite grace and mercy, someone came, shared the gospel, presented the plan of salvation, whether it was a witness on the street or a Sunday school teacher or a preacher preaching a gospel message on a Sunday morning or a revival where an evangelist was preaching the word of God. How shall they know unless God send a preacher, folks? But you heard the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, you saw His beauty on the cross, that yet while you were undone and wicked, He loved you so much. He demonstrated His own love toward you. And now while yet you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. And the gospel penetrated your heart and broke through that hardness and softened it and opened your eyes. And God saved you by the grace of God. They have an old song they used to sing. I found Jesus. Bam, break a bam, break a bam. But you didn't find Jesus, folks. Jesus wasn't ever lost. Jesus found you when you were lost and saved you by the grace of God, folks. Sometimes we got to rewrite these songs and get them right back with the word of God. Amen. Jesus wasn't ever lost. You didn't find Him. But I tell you what, He found you. And when He found you, you was lost. And He began to convict you and began to draw you into the kingdom of God, and ultimately you got saved by the grace of God. I think of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Be reminded of this great truth here this morning before you leave this church. Mark chapter 8, verse 38 says, Jesus said, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Folks, there's no secretive, embarrassed Christians in the Word of God. I want to tell you, when Jesus saves you and you become a sheep and you experience his genuine, authentic love for you that was presented on the cross of Calvary and he rose from the dead and you get saved by the grace of God, you're not ashamed to be called the child of the Most High God. Folks, I went from a child of the devil at 27 years old to a child of the living, resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank God that when you become one of his sheep, folks, there's no shame to your gain. I'm telling you, God put a song in my heart. I tell you this all the time. I have decided to follow Jesus. No, none go with me. I'm still going to follow the world behind me, the cross before me. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. I'm going to stake my claim on the gospel and preach it till the day I die. And Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For all those who believeth, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Thank God for the blood of Jesus and the cross of Calvary, folks. Let everybody in the world produce their wickedness and boldly proclaim and exhort other people to come alongside them and act ungodly. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming back in all of his glory. And I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. The shepherd seeks the sheep. The shepherd shelters the sheep. Right here in verse 13, he says the hireling flees because he's a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep. Folks, Jesus not only saves you, I tell you, thank God he shelters you, amen. Have you experienced the refuge and sheltering of the Lord Jesus Christ as a genuine shepherd since the day you got saved? A refuge, a very present help in a time of trouble. I think of David's prayer to God when he was fleeing Saul in Psalm 57, 1 and 2. David is fleeing Saul, concerned about his own life. And in Psalm 57, fleeing Saul, he wrote these words in verse 1 and 2, be gracious to me, O God, for my soul takes refuge in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until the destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. When you put that in its context, boy, I tell you what, them words penetrate, and I tell you what, penetrate deeply your heart of hearts. Fleeing from Saul, not knowing if he's going to live or die, be gracious to me, O God, for my soul takes refuge in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. You ever been there? Ever felt like the walls were caving in and the bottom fell out? You was thinking you didn't have nowhere to run to? Out of strength? Your world was upside down? And then God reminds you, I am your refuge. I am your strength. I am your comforter. I am the good shepherd. I'm unique. I'm genuine. I love you. I've called you and I know you by name and I will take care of you. And then all the concerns and the worries that you find yourself in begin to melt in the presence of God. A very present help in a time of refuge, a time of trials and tribulations, and a time of trouble. I got to thinking about this song when I was studying that, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff laughs because we kind of think alike sometimes, but not all the time. Not when it comes to sport. But you know, we'll be studying, and Jeff said, wow, you do that too? I said, yeah, I do that too. We'll be studying and preparing stuff, and then a song will come to your mind as you're looking through this. And a song came to my mind when I thought about this. Jesus is our shelter. He's our shelter as a sheep. He takes us into his sheepfold, and he shelters us and protects us and watches over us. And y'all know this old song. Mackie and Gayle sing it during the revivals. The Lord's our rock, and him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Y'all ever heard that? You just heard it. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Oh, a weary land. Oh, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of the storm. I don't know why musicians do that, but they do like this. Yeah. A shelter in the time of the storm. A shelter in the time of the storm. I guess that means you're going to repeat it 3 times. Get ready. I've been wanting to do that a long, long time. Boy, I felt good. You ever thought about this? Jesus is your shepherd. He loves you intimately. And no matter what troubles come your way, he's your shelter in a time of a storm. You can count on him, folks, when you can't count on nobody else. You can lean on him when all your strength is gone. You can receive his comfort and joy when you don't have any left of your own. Jesus is a shelter in the time of a storm. And then we see the urgency of his call. This call to be saved by the grace of God expects a response. You can ride the fence on a lot of things. You can become indecisive on a lot of things, folks. But I tell you what, you better answer the call before it's too late. He says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. I want to tell you something, folks. The door is open. You got to make a choice if you're going to enter in. And you better make it soon because it looks like we're running out of time. There's an open door there that only Jesus has opened. And if you're going to come into the kingdom of God, you've got to enter in, folks. God's not going to force you. He's not going to drag you and twist your arm. You won't find nowhere in the scriptures where Jesus drugged somebody into the kingdom of God. But I tell you what, you will find. He said, drop what you're doing, drop your nets and come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Them old boys dropped them nets, got on board, started following Jesus, and Jesus changed their lives and used them by the grace and glory of God. He got on the side of the mountain, started preaching and teaching about what repentance and true disciple looked like. And after their bellies were full and the miracles had taken place, they all, most of them, began to walk away. Jesus turns to his own disciples. He didn't try to twist their arm and make them stay there. He said, are you guys going to go too? Here's your opportunity. If you're going to go, go. They said, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words to eternal life. There is no other place to go, folks. The only open door there is the Son of the living God who died on the cross and shed his blood and rose from the dead. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus is the only door. He's the only door there is. There's no other way into the kingdom of God. The call expects a response. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. One day the door is going to be shut, folks. John wrote in Revelation 22:17, The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. Folks, you can't buy it, but God will supply it. You think about this. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he'll have mercy on him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. The door is open. And Jesus is calling you into this kingdom, but you've got to enter in. And I want to tell you something. That choice is yours. What you do with the gospel is going to depend upon where you're going to spend eternity, or heaven or hell. You're going to come through that door. You're not going to come at all. You're going to repent and bow before Christ and confess him Lord and Savior of your life, or you're not going to do it, folks. Pride's going to keep a lot of people out of glory. Jesus even told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify me, but you're not willing to come to me in order that you may have life. Everyone practicing evil, John said in 3:19 and 20, hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Folks, this ain't no secret why people are rebelling against God. They love their sin and their darkness more than they love Jesus as the great shepherd, the genuine shepherd, the lovely shepherd. Folks, nobody had to convince me why I stayed away from so long. I knew what repentance meant. I knew what it meant to turn away from sin. I want to tell you something, folks. A life of sin on this earth ain't worth eternity in hell. A life of sin and enjoyment of the pleasures of this world ain't worth eternity in hell. God expects a response, and you will give a response when this sermon is over. You will accept Christ or you will reject Christ. You will walk out of this church saved by the grace of God or still lost in your sins, headed to hell and enjoying the ride. But you will make a decision today. The call expects a response and the call establishes a relationship. He says right here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. What a beautiful relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. Folks, you know what sheep do? They follow. You know what goats do? They butt. Anybody ever had old, nasty, ugly, cantankerous goat in the pasture? My aunt no had one in Texas. Boy, I love going over there, but I didn't like that goat. Her name was Nanny. That thing looked like the devil with them two horns coming off its head. Man, you turn your back on old Nanny and she go to run. All you hear some little hoof marks and hoof beating. By the time you heard it, it was too late. She'd ram you in the rear and butt you. That thing is just a button. But I tell you what, that's what goats do. They butt, don't they? Always looking to be ugly and mean. But I tell you what, you know what sheep do? They follow. When you get saved by the grace of God, that's the difference. Now you're not butting and head butting with God. You're surrendering. You're submitting. You're following Jesus as the good shepherd, the great shepherd. I tell you, folks, there comes a time in every man, woman, or child's life when you got to decide what you're going to do. Follow the good shepherd and lay your life down for the one who laid his life down for you, or keep on butting against the kingdom of God and rebelling against God till you die and spend eternity in hell. Folks, I got tired of butting. And I got tired of running from God. All I know is at 27 years old, the Spirit of God convicted me through the Word of God. I turned from my sins and I laid my life down for the good shepherd, the lovely shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. And I want to tell you, he's been a good, good shepherd every step of the way. Charles Spurgeon used to say, Satan is a cruel, hard taskmaster. But you know what God does? He lovingly, gently guides his sheep. Takes care of us, meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Tells us greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Says, if I be for you, who can be against you? You're much more than a conqueror through me who loves you. Persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation? distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Nothing can separate you and I as a sheep underneath the shepherd's nurturing, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I don't have nowhere to go except up from here, amen? He's so good and works in and through me and sticks by my side. I have no desire to go anywhere else and try to feed off of another pasture. This is where the nurturing and the care comes from. Jesus as the good shepherd. Is he your good shepherd here this morning? Are you one of his sheep? Does he know you by name according to the word of God? Well, then whom shall we fear? Our God is going to take care of us. But if you're here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God. Jesus loved you so much, he died on the cross and shed his blood and rose from the dead. Why are you butting against that? Why are you rebelling against that? Do you actually think a life short-lived on earth where you live to be another week or a week longer or a month longer or to be 70 or 80 or even die in a week, a day, an hour? Do you think it was worth it rebelling against God and spend eternity? Folks, eternity, think about that in hell, separated from God. No love, no mercy, no grace, no second opportunities. Never, ever have another opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. But I tell you what, you got one today. You can repent and turn from your sins and lay your life down for Christ and follow him today. Or you can leave and walk out of this church lost and enjoy the ride to hell until one day you stand before God at the great white throne judgment and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. How many of you been saved? Has Jesus satisfied your every longing? Met your every need? Brought you through many trials and tribulations? Suffering, pain, anguish? But he's been faithful as a good shepherd all along. What a good, good shepherd. And if you're here today and you never made peace with God through his son Jesus Christ, I pray you'll step out when we begin to sing and say, Brother Marty, I know you can't save me. Brother Jeff's going to lead us in this hymn of invitation. I know this church can't save me. I know religion can't save me. I'm done with religion. I'm done with trying. I don't have nothing to offer God except a confession that I'm a lost sinner on my way to hell. I need to be saved by the grace of God. I need Jesus in my life. I want to repent. I want to turn from my sins. I want to lay my life down for the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. If that's the desire of your heart and the Spirit of the living God is speaking to you, stand up when we begin to sing and come down and make it public to show you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father. Folks, there's no secret to embarrass Christians in the kingdom of God. It brings great joy in my heart to tell people everywhere I go, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, Brother Alton. You can leave here saved by the grace and glory of God today if you will repent and lay your life down for Jesus and follow.